Pastor Jerry mentioned, my name is Tim Warholik, and I get very frequently comments on my last name from people when I say it to them. And they say Warholik, and I say, yeah. And they're like, that's a cool last name. I'm like, well, yeah, it depends on how you look at it. Some people say, like, alcoholic. I'm like, let's stick with Warholik. I think Warholik's better than alcoholic. But the idea of being a Warholik, the Lord has used my name to remind me over and over and over again that though there may be battles raging around us on a physical level, in the physical realm, there is even a greater battle raging around us in the spiritual realm. And we are engaging in that spiritual battle, whether we like it or not. And the thing that I love about speaking at men's conferences is I don't have to talk to women for a little bit. I can give it to you the way that you need to hear it. And you know that sometimes a 2x4 across the head is better than coddling you and telling you things are going to be okay someday. Just stick it out. The reality is that you are a son of the Most High God. You are a priesthood, and he has called you with a greater calling, you as men, to lead your families, lead in your workplaces, and lead in the spheres of influence that he has placed you in. You're not a carpenter, you're not a janitor, you're not an accountant, you're not a lawyer because you wanted to be. He saw who you were before the foundation of the earth was laid, and he said, this is what I have for this man who is going to represent me and my son, Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you every day that you wake up that you would remind yourself of that. The title of today's message is Trials Are Coming. How does that make you feel? Trials are coming. Let's read in our text and meditate on this word this morning. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that person ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. I believe James is speaking to men. That person who asks and doubts should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let's pray. Father, we submit our hearts to you this morning. We need you. We acknowledge that we are engaged in warfare. We are engaged in battle. And any soldier engaged in battle will be expecting the difficulty over the horizon. Will be expecting the trial that's about to manifest in their lives. May we not be fools to think that things are going to get easier or that we would like things to be easier, but allow us in submitting to you to receive the promise that we have already received the victory through your son, Jesus Christ. We're merely reminding ourselves and reminding those around us that though the battle rages and though the trial is at hand, you are victorious. Just like we sang in that song, you have conquered the grave. So Father, give us ears to hear what your Spirit has to speak to your church this morning. And God, may we be, as your word says this morning, may we be not only hearers, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever heard the phrase before, comfort kills? Have you ever heard that phrase? This is a true concept. This isn't a man-made construct. This is something that's a reality. The phrase comfort kills refers to the idea that too much comfort, complacency, or avoidance of challenges can hinder growth, health, and resilience. Various studies and writings in psychology, fitness, and personal development discuss how living a life of excessive comfort can lead to negative outcomes, both mentally and physically. You see how we went through each part of our lives? Physically, psychologically, mentally, but we forgot one thing, spiritually. When we seek the comfort, we experience, like our brother last night shared with us, atrophy. And one of the reasons that people live so long, you see people live into their 70s and their 80s and their 90s. Many times those people are living actively because they don't want their body to atrophy and give up on them. I just saw this video the other day of a 98-year-old man doing the 100-yard dash. When is the last time you did the 100-yard dash? I won't answer that. They say that once you reach the age of 30, I think, the chances of you doing the 100-yard dash are zero. If it applies, it applies. Jocko Willink, have you guys heard of Jocko Willink? He's a retired Navy SEAL and leadership instructor known for his good mindset. Jocko encourages people to respond to setbacks and bad news by saying, good. His philosophy is that the challenges and difficulties present opportunities for growth, learning, and becoming stronger. He explains that instead of being discouraged, you should embrace adversity because it forces you to adapt and improve. One of his famous quotes is, didn't get the job you wanted? Good. Got injured? Good. Disappointed with the outcome? Good. Because that gives you the opportunity to get better. And I would submit to you, don't mistake me this morning, I would submit to you that comes from a man who lives in the world. He has identified this reality, this truth, that if you allow yourself to get too comfortable, you will stop progressing. And I say this all the time, if these things are true in the physical realm, how much more important and true are they in the spiritual realm? You guys need to be here this morning. I need to be here this morning, surrounded by brothers, by soldiers that will go to battle shoulder by shoulder. And work through the difficulties in life that we have to go through. When you start to isolate yourself and separate yourself from the brothers, that's when the enemy has an opportunity to get into your life and attack you. And that's when the lie, first self-deception, then spiritual deception, then you find yourself in a place where you say, I don't know how I ended up here, and you and I both know how the heck you ended up there. It's a slow fade. We look at biblical characters, and one of the biblical characters that I love a lot of them, but one of the ones that I love is David, and a lot of us like David, don't we? Why? Because he was a man's man. He was a warrior. He went to battle. And after David was living his life and going from battle to battle and experiencing victory and victory, he reached a season in his life where he said to himself, I think I'm going to hang back this time. I need some alone time. I need some me time. I want to hang out. I want to be comfortable in my palace. I want to chill and just relax. And then he's perusing the kingdom from the top of his palace, and he sees this woman bathing. Was it that King David made the compromise in a season where he was seeking more comfort? I will submit to you, and I will be honest and transparent. There are seasons that I go through, and I don't know if you can identify with this. Give me an amen if you have. Wait until I say it, though. There are seasons that I go into that I say to the Lord, God, you named me warholic, but I am tired of fighting. I'm tired, God. I don't have the strength. I don't have what it takes anymore. I can't do this anymore. And God, in his faithfulness, instructs me to get up, to man up. That's what manning up is, isn't it? It's recognizing the identity that God has given you as a man, as a leader, to press on into the trial, to press on into the battle. And we need to meditate on that in this day. We look around us and we see all kinds of craziness happening in the world. We have a couple short months until our country's going to be at each other's throats. And make no mistake, this is a spiritual battle that we are engaged in. Did you know that in the year 2024, there are more elections happening around the entire planet, Democratic elections, than any other time in history? This year. If you don't think that there's a spiritual war happening globally, forget about America. Forget about St. George, Las Vegas, wherever you've come from. There is a battle raging that's global. And we are called to engage in it. We are called to be a part of it. On Sunday mornings at Paradise Calvary Chapel in Las Vegas, I'm going through the book of Daniel, which has been a real encouragement for myself and a blessing for our fellowship. And one of the things that really has stood out to me and continued to minister to me in our congregation is looking at the kingdom of Babylon and what it represented. I don't think the kingdom of Babylon necessarily represents one country in the end times. I think the kingdom of Babylon represents the spirit of Babylon in Genesis, of mankind saying, let us gather together in our name and build our tower into the kingdom and make a name for ourselves. This is the world's mentality. And this is one of the challenges that we find ourselves up against. You don't allow that kind of thinking to creep into the church or to creep into our lives on a singular level. We are part of God's kingdom. I like when Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, I would fight. Peter chopping off people's ears. If my kingdom was of this world, we would go to battle. And all of his disciples were like, yeah! And Jesus is like, but my kingdom is not of this world. We don't engage in warfare in the same way that the world engages in warfare. Did you know that the word disciple, how many disciples of Jesus Christ do we have in the house this morning? Two or three? Couple? Good. Do you know the word disciple comes from the word discipline? Discipline is something that we have to exercise daily, and it's one of those things that ends up being a battle for us. Do you know there are two kinds of discipline? Go ahead and shout out if you want to. What are the two different kinds of discipline that you think there are? There's self-inflicted discipline, and there's God-inflicted discipline. We discipline ourselves. Paul says that I discipline my body on a physical and spiritual level. I discipline my body so that I can be disciplined. And then when we find ourselves veering away from this time of self-discipline, of making ourselves do things that we don't want to do, we edge into this area of comfort, things being a little bit easier. And when we find ourselves going into the area of comfort, making things a little bit easier, compromise tends to creep into our lives. I'm a guy. just like you. My life looks no differently on a day-to-day basis when it comes to discipline or the lack thereof. And God is faithful when I am overlooking or not applying discipline in my life that needs to happen. God is faithful because he is a father that loves me as his son to discipline me, to teach me. He says, you want to be a disciple, Tim? This is what it's going to look like. This is what it's going to take. And I'm going to take you into trials and difficulty for your benefit, but for my glory. See, the results are supernatural and eternal. How many of you have made a commitment to get into the gym or to work out, and you look at yourselves in front of the mirror after a few days or a week and you're like, nothing's happening. What's going on? I've been really trying the last 5 days. Discipline comes with time and consistency. And the same is true for spiritual discipline. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, you all know it well, but stay away from worthless stories that are typical of old women. Don't listen to the garbage that they're talking about on the news right now. They're stories that people like to talk about to get worked up. Oh, this is going to happen. Shut up. You don't know what's going to happen. God knows what's going to happen, and he is my king. Rather, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily training is just slightly beneficial. You see those guys that are ripped? You're like, that's beneficial. According to God's word, it's slightly beneficial. But godliness, you know what godliness is? It's being like God. It's not you attaining godliness. It's you seeing who he is, recognizing who he is and his righteousness, and you saying, I want to be like you. I want to discipline my life in a way that people look at my life and they see Jesus. But godliness is beneficial for all things since it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Think about this. All eternal principles, all spiritual principles are connected to an eternal promise. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where rust and moth destroy. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where rust cannot rust and moth cannot destroy. Those principles that God gives us in the New Testament and the Old Testament, when we apply them to our lives, we do see a physical benefit now, but we also are always promised that there's going to be an eternal benefit to it as well. So your spiritual disciplines on a daily basis are going to benefit you now and into all of eternity. Can I get a witness? This isn't a temporary thing. This is big picture. I found that in any particular season of life that I'm in, I'm dealing with at least one of three things. And I would say that this is true for all of us who are believers. And this is something that I like to help young believers, new believers understand. I like to remind middle-aged believers. I want them to remember and understand. And even in our old age, when we've been walking with the Lord for a long time, this is something that is very important, very vital for you to thrive as a man of God that's seeking after him. One of three things. The first thing, the enemy is going to attack you. You are going to be engaged in spiritual warfare. Some seasons you see more, some seasons you see less. Some seasons maybe God's given you a respite. Maybe he's given you a little bit of a break, but the reality is it's coming. You don't know when, but you're in a season you got a little downtime. Praise the Lord. The second thing I find that we struggle with, and all these three things we're going to be looking at in the book of James this morning, the second thing is the struggle with the flesh. And this is something where I'd like to say you don't always have to struggle with the devil or spiritual warfare. I'd like to say you don't always struggle with the flesh, but if you're like me, the flesh needs to be crucified on a daily basis. There is no time to get comfortable when it comes to dealing with the flesh. When it comes to the flesh needs to die. And I used to think when I was a younger believer that when I would get older, that it would get easier. Has it gotten easier, gentlemen, in your, with your grays? You guys smooth sailing now? It's all downhill? The struggle with the flesh is still there. And maybe some seasons you go through, maybe it's harder. And maybe some seasons you go through and it's easier. Like, I've crucified that old dude, that old Tim, that retard. Sorry, this is a men's conference. I can say that. I've crucified that guy. He's dead. And you feel a little bit of freedom not having to deal with the bondage of the flesh. But even Paul the Apostle, who wrote most of the New Testament, he says, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of flesh? He's talking about the struggle, I believe, with the flesh. So first thing is, what was the first thing? Spiritual warfare, we will get attacked. The second thing is, you're going to deal with the flesh. You're going to struggle with the flesh on a regular basis. The third thing is, God loves you. And he wants to take you through seasons of teaching. And he will allow you to go through certain trials so that you can learn. Because a good father who loves his children teaches them. He teaches his disciples. And I've told people before that if you can identify which one primarily of those three things that you're going through in the season that you're in right now, you will have greater victory in that season. If this is a season of spiritual warfare where I feel I'm getting attacked and I can't get any kind of rest, then press into the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you're in a season where your carnal nature's taking over, cut it off. Identify those things that your flesh wants and murder them. Or if this is something, God, that you want to teach me, I'm open to learn it. I know that it's not easy. I know that it's hard. I have ears to hear. I want to hear. I want you to do a work. These three things, I believe, we see explained to some degree in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, looking at verses 2 through 6 again, this is the enemy's attack in temptation or trial. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The testing is a proving of who you think you are. And then when it's revealed to you who you really are, then you are complete. God has revealed to you the things that need to be addressed, and you are able to address those things for your benefit. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. I love this so much. You know how much this verse is quoted? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Father who gives to all liberally and without reproach. It's another translation. You know how many times we recite that verse for the sake of just wisdom? You know the context that he's talking about? He's saying if you're in a battle and you don't know what's going on, ask God for wisdom to give you the insight into that trial. I was with a person one time going through a trial and very difficult. She wanted to give up. My wife and I were talking to her and she said, I don't think I will ever understand why these things are happening to me. And I said, shame on you. Don't you have more faith to say, God, would you reveal and give me wisdom as to why I am going through these things? Do you think he doesn't want you to know? He wants you to know so you can grow. He wants you to know so you can receive all that he has for you in that season. God, give me wisdom to understand why, not just the beating of the chest why, but the spiritual implications of why. Let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. this word encounter, or these words encounter various trials. It's interesting. The King James Version translates that word trial differently. Very interesting. In James 2 through 3, King James, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Now, I don't know about you, but for me, there's a big difference between a trial and a temptation. Because a trial, I can filter through, what is this trial? Is it God teaching me something? Is it the flesh, or is it some kind of spiritual warfare? I think James is identifying the trial that he's talking about more with, now you don't have to agree with me, that's fine, but I think he's identifying it more with the spiritual battle that's taking place rather than the physical. He says you're experiencing these temptation. And we use this word spiritual warfare. Have you ever heard this word spiritual warfare? I define spiritual warfare like this. Spiritual warfare are supernatural influences that are trying to draw you away from the good and perfect will that God has for your life. It's giving ear to things. It's listening to things that you shouldn't be listening to. It's thinking about things. Where did that thought come? And meditating on it and allowing it to stick there that you ought not allow to stay there. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ Jesus kind of scenario. So he's saying you have these temptations that you're dealing with, that you're struggling through. And then he talks a little bit more about it. We're going to get down to it in a different section of James chapter 1. But let's go to the second thing. The second thing is the flesh. James chapter 1 verse 13 through 15 says this: "No one is to say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God." The same word for trials in verse 2 and 3 is the same word used here in verse 13 of temptations. And it says that God doesn't tempt people. So this is why this is a little bit of an indication for me, same Greek word used in both places, that maybe there's something else going on here. He's saying the trial that you're in is not a temptation by God. It's a different kind of temptation. God is not a tempter. God is a tester, but he is not a tempter. God cannot be tempted by evil. And he himself does not tempt anyone. That same root word in the Greek is used for each one of these tempts. But each one of you is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. So we've moved from a spiritual warfare that's an influence that's trying to get us to go in a direction that is not going in the direction toward God. Think of repentance as going in the opposite direction, right? So you're going down a bad path and you repent and you turn and go the other way. The same is true here when you're tempted. You're going in the right way and you turn and go in a direction that you shouldn't be going. And it might start in the area of spiritual warfare, but it's manifested when we are enticed by our own lust, when we buy into that thing. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it has run its course, brings forth death. Your flesh can kill you, or you can kill it. Giving in to the lusts of your flesh, I like to use the word appetites, because I like food. Can you tell? Maybe. You have different appetites. Your flesh has appetites. And all of our appetites, how many guys are in this room? Couple, 200, 300 or something like that. All of your appetites are different than the guy sitting next to you. I'm talking about lusts, carnal things. Some of you like this kind of thing. Some of you like that kind of thing. And if we give in to the lusts, the appetites of our flesh, what do I feel like? The reason I like appetites is because sometimes we're like, what do I feel like eating today? Do I want McDonald's or Taco Bell? Neither. That's Satan. That's the devil's influence over you. Trust me. Now think of that in terms of your own appetites, the sinful tendencies that you tend to give a little bit more lingering thought to. And make no mistake, it's not news to us. We know this. We just have to be reminded. Make no mistake that when we start to edge in that direction, we start to give ourselves over to its enticement, sin is conceived, or that conception happens, and that conception leads to sin. And when sin has run its full course, it brings forth death. I believe that as we allow our flesh to have control in our lives, the longer we take to address the issue of sin, the worse the consequences. And I would say not because God is bringing consequences on you, which may be true. It would actually probably be more along the lines of some kind of discipline. For those of you who have kids and you tell your kids, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Okay, now, you know, mom might let them keep doing it, but dad's not gonna, right? Amen. Don't do that. There's going to be consequences. And the longer that it goes on, the greater the consequences are. And if there's a physical truth that's to be drawn from that, then you absolutely can be sure that there's a spiritual truth. And the longer that you give yourself over to the flesh, I don't know how I got here. If I had a dollar every time I heard that, well, maybe there's some kind of deception involved as well. So nip it in the bud before it gets to that point. Address it. You know, one of the most powerful things that you can do as a man, one of the most powerful things when you're struggling with the lust of the flesh, is confession. I would encourage you to confess to your wives, but be careful. I would encourage you to confess to a brother, somebody close to you, in a men's group, or somebody that knows you a little bit better, even if they don't know what this secret sin is, this thing that you are giving yourself over to, and the expectation in the future is that you're gonna be disciplined. Or one of my favorite verses, one of my life verses for me personally, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he will reap corruption. I've never seen corruption cast in a good light except for those who benefit from it. And in this context, nobody's benefiting. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap everlasting life. That is a now everlasting life today, and not yet, a coming everlasting life. Cut it off. Deal with the lust of the flesh. Confess. Talk to a brother. And the third thing that we see in this text is God's teaching. Fast forward to James 1:21. Listening, trusting, and obeying what he says to us. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. How many of you have a little bit of filthiness left in you? I can identify it. And all that remains of wickedness, identify the filthiness that happens to be there, the wickedness, and rid yourself of it. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. This is one of the things that I love about our church, is we are passionate about the word of God. And the word of God implanted in you is going to change you. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not just hearers only who deceive themselves. So James is saying you can be part of Calvary Chapel who's passionate about the word of God. You can go to church and men's Bible study. You can hear the word taught on a regular basis, but if you're letting it go in one ear and out the other, if you're not allowing it to take root in the depths of the fertile soil of your heart, you are deceived. Self-deception. Do not deceive yourselves. Be active. There's a call to action. And be doers of the word, not hearers only. Verse 23, and if anybody is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. Now, one who has looked intently into the perfect law, the law of freedom, has continued in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an active doer. This person will be blessed in what he does, or another translation says, this person will be blessed in all he does. Taking the word of God, taking the teaching that God wants to give you and allowing it to be activated in your life. There's this fascinating story that I saw that I was intrigued by, kind of tucked it away. It was a World War II story. I don't know if you guys are kind of war history buffs, but I like to look at the past so that we're not doomed to repeat it. Just finished this podcast on the start of World War I. It was like a 10-part or 13-part podcast. It was fascinating about Ferdinand Magellan and his assassination in Sarajevo, which is close to my heart because that's the Balkan area. My wife and I lived in Croatia for a season. It's very close to Sarajevo. And how this sparked, this assassination in Sarajevo, a lot of people don't even know where it's at, sparked World War I. Fast forward to World War II, and the Allies, they were getting planes back from the battlefield. And here's a diagram I have for you of this, a true story. Here's a diagram of the planes that returned after their missions back to their hangars. Do we have the graphic? I'll hold it up on my iPad, but I don't know if you guys can see it. No? Okay. I'll try. Can you guys see that? No? Do you see the outline of a plane? You see all the red dots? The outline of the plane is the plane. And the red dots are the bullet holes when the plane would come back from battle. And they were trying to figure out what they should do about these bullet holes in the plane. And they decided that everywhere that there were bullet holes, if you could see, maybe you can come up to me afterwards. Everywhere that there are bullet holes, they were going to put reinforcements there so that the bullets couldn't get through. And then one guy said this, wait a minute. If these planes are making it back with these bullet holes, that means that they could sustain fire in those areas. Let's look at the places where there are no bullet holes and reinforce those places. So that if the bullets hit there, the planes will survive even if they're riddled in all other parts of the planes with the bullets. And you know what? It worked. The takeaway for you and for me is that you are going to take fire. You're gonna take fire and you're gonna get hit. Jesus, in his mercy and grace, is the protection over those spots that you're not going to go down. He's going to take care of you. This isn't a call to action for you to do something for yourself in this regard. This is Jesus covers us so the enemy cannot hit those vital parts of our lives. I've been meditating deeply on the verse where Jesus actually says to Peter, think about this for a second. I can't even believe Jesus said this. He's a super cool friend to say this to Peter, but he says, the enemy has requested to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. Do you know what Jesus just said to Peter? He said, you're going to take hits, Peter, but your vital organs are going to be protected. You are going to make it. And when you come out, when you come through the trial, this difficulty you're going to experience, be restored to your brothers and encourage them. And the same is true for you. You're going to take hits. You're going to take damage. You're not going to be vitally, you're not going to be mortally wounded unless you pull the ejection cord and give up. Hang in there. You're going to make it back. You're going to be okay. And I want to end in closing on this verse in 2 Corinthians to encourage you. In light of what we just talked about with the plane and not getting vital organs hit. But we have this treasure in earthen containers so that the extraordinary greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying around in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. The world can take these principles like that guy Joko did. They can take these principles and they can apply it to their lives to get some kind of spiritual benefit. But you are taking them physically and you are taking them spiritually for a benefit today, for all of eternity, and for those who are around you watching you go through the trial. Carrying in yourself the body of the dying Jesus. Be encouraged. Embrace. This is the joy that he was talking about. You recognize something is happening. Have joy. Take joy in it. Because you're either going to get to do one of three things. You're going to get to resist the devil and he's going to flee from you. You're going to crucify the flesh and learn what it means to be more of a spiritual man, or God is going to engage you and teach you a lesson that you could not learn without his sovereign hand on your life. Let's pray. Father, your goodness overwhelms us. We want to sing those songs about victory and your mercy and your goodness. We receive those things. We want to live in those things. And we also want to recognize who you've called us to be as your men in such a time as this. So God, I pray over these men, over my brothers, I pray the power of your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit would fall on these men and their churches and their communities and their jobs and their families so that they can demonstrate your glory, so that they can show the world who Jesus is. Not that we are strong, but in our weakness, you are shown strong. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.